Hello, I'm Anna.
And I'm Bethany, and we're trying to review every Jane Austen adaptation ever.
Welcome to Austen Translation, the only Jane Austen podcast that covers the character's star signs.
That we know of. So this is the third part of the grand finale of Pride and Prejudice, 1995, episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah.
God, it's been a marathon, this. God, I'm trying to remember where we left off in the last episode.
Mr. Darcy comes and asks if she likes Pemberley. She's gone to Pemberley, and then he wants to introduce her to Georgiana.
Yeah, and we get that really, like, so we've just had the lake scene, but then we were discussing
And then Colin Firth being nice, and it's sexy because he's being nice.
Yeah, yeah, the sexier scene afterwards where he's, like, got good chat.
Just being polite. Just being a polite boy.
Polite, respectful man. So we open up with, like, Lizzie walking down the high street towards the Bull's Inn, I think it's called. The Bull's Head Inn.
Yeah, yeah. Some kind of pub involving a bull.
And it turns out someone pokes their head out the top of the window, and my servant pokes their head out. And she's like, oh, there's two gentlemen waiting for you in
and
the
pub. Lady.
And a lady. Yeah, because I got a bit confused about this, because I only heard two gentlemen and then got very confused.
No, it's two gentlemen and a lady.
And one of them is Mr. Darcy. She goes in and she's confronted with Darcy and Georgiana. And I'm just going to take this moment that Georgiana is a lady from Silent Witness.
Yes. What's her name? Amelia Fox.
Amelia Fox.
Bingley wants to know. Bingley's like, hey, it's been so long since, oh no, Lizzie goes, it's been so long since we've seen you. And he's like, yes, it's been, we saw each other last on November the 24th. It's like, all right, Bingley.
Yeah, no, I did enjoy that, because she was like,
chill out a bit.
Several months, and he was like, it was 8 months. I last saw you on November the 24th.
It was 10:45.
Never feels bull.
And he's like, are all your sisters still at Longbourn?
I know.
And she's like, and Lizzie, instead of taking pity on the poor man, she's like, ah, yes, all but one. And he's like, oh, no. And then she's like, oh, it's Lydia. Don't worry, it's Lydia.
And she's just fucking a bit of Mr. Bennet about her, hasn't she?
Yeah, she just likes to fuck with him.
Also, just before, so like, Georgiana is kind of speaks to Lizzie first, and she's just like, kind of weird. I find Georgiana weird.
Georgiana's a bit weird. She's just like very, I don't know. She's kind of intense, but not in like a, she's like shyly intense. Intensely shy.
Yeah, I thought she was a bit shy, but also like a bit forward as well.
Yeah, she's very like, she's really key. Apparently, like the way that Darcy acts like, oh, Georgiana really wants to meet you. And it's like, okay, you're a little bit obsessed with Lizzie and you've literally never met her. Like,
yeah. Also, this is another thing. Is Lizzie actually good at piano, or is she shit? Is she being,
she's mediocre at piano. She's, well, like, I think she's fine at piano. She's not super great at it, but she's not bad at it.
Yeah, because I was like, Darcy doesn't seem to have lost his head completely, but he goes on about how good she is at piano all of the time.
I think he just really enjoys, I think he just said, I really, really enjoy watching her play piano, which I think is more about her being hot than necessarily the music.
I think it's his kink. He loves women playing the piano.
He loves an accomplished woman. And then Darcy, like, sends Georgiana. He's like, hey, Miss Elizabeth, Georgiana wants to ask you something. Like, fucking child. You know when you're a child and you're like, you'll, like, get your parent to ask some, like,
yeah,
someone for something.
Yeah, it had that essence. But she does go over and whisper to him first. And then he's like, he totally interrupts Bingley and Lizzie's conversation.
And yeah, like, he's just like, hey. And but instead of being like, why don't you go ask her? He's like, hey, Georgiana wants to ask you something. He's like, either Georgiana can say that for herself. She has already spoken to Lizzie. Or, like,
yeah, like, it's just a weird dynamic.
It's just strange.
He just invites her for dinner for her to play piano again.
At Pemberley,
yeah. And I think Caroline and the Hursts, I think it's mentioned that they'll be there.
Yeah. And She's playing piano and Mr. Darcy's just so in love. There's just so many shots of his face and he's just like...
He's just staring lovingly.
You might as well be sighing. And she's singing really, really high.
Yeah, it's so high. Later on, I'm like, Darcy's... Oh, no, I've literally said it here. I said, Darcy's such a simp for Lizzie Bennet.
He is such a simp.
He's absolutely simping at this point. Also, I was like, imagine, like, this is my worst nightmare. Like, I love Jane Austen, but having to sit there while people play piano and sing really high and just, like, that's your entertainment. Oh, my God, I could not. It's like the Regency version of his Wonderwall. So they're at the dinner party and she's playing the music and then Caroline is getting out her big stick to start stirring shit.
Oh my, sorry, I just wanted to say before that, like, Georgiana's saying about Mr., talking about how good a brother Mr. Darcy is, right? and the fact that he's never wrong. And Mr. Darcy just looks over like, oh my God, are they talking about me? Is Lizzie Bennet talking about me? Oh my God, it's happening.
He's such a simp.
He's such a simp.
Total simp for her. And then Caroline can suss out what's going on here. And she's just like, has enough of this. And she just, okay, this is where I find it weird. Because she warned Lizzie about Wickham. Said she didn't know the details, but Darcy is really wrong. And then she's just like, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring up Wickham, even though I know Darcy hates him.
Yeah. Like, okay. She always just drops herself in it because just, it never works for you, Caroline.
Yeah, and it's almost like a car brake screeching moment because Georgiana stops playing.
Yeah.
I think Darcy stands up.
Yeah, he's just like, the fuck? And then, like, he's really losing patience with Caroline Bingley at this point. And then Lizzie sort of saves the day and distracts them by being like, oh, I'm so sorry, Georgiana, I forgot to turn the page on your music. That's clearly, like, why you've stopped. And then her and Darcy share a sort of loving look between them.
I literally wrote, God, the looks are so intense.
They're just smiling at each other.
Yeah,
and it's just...
they're absolutely in love at this point.
There's like an aura around Darcy, like a you know, that in cartoons where there's like kind of a light pink, like, air around them and they've got little love hearts. That's like Mr. Darcy. He's got like heart eyes.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely does. And then, so when she leaves, Caroline, not learning, decides to go full throttle Lizzie slab.
Yeah, like Darcy watches Lizzie's coach drive away like a little puppy, like, and I've just written here, he's got it good. But yeah, and then Caroline's like, you know what I'm going to do now? When clearly he's really into Lizzie, I'm going to be like, oh, Lizzie looked so shit, didn't she?
Yeah, she was like, she's aged, she's so tanned, and then she's just listing all of the things that's wrong with her, and then she's like, I suppose her teeth are tolerable.
Yes, and then she's like, and what about her eyes? You used to say that they were rather fine, didn't you, Mr. Darcy? And he totally destroys her. He's like, yes, I did used to think that they were fine, it's been a long time since I've seen her as one of the most handsome women of my acquaintance. And she's like, her face just drops. And he walks off and just strides down the corridor and he's so pleased with himself.
Yeah.
He's just like, boom.
Mr. Hurst is just like drunkenly asleep on the
floor. Again.
Like, again. But yeah, he walks through the halls of Pemberley with a candle and his dog.
With two doggies. And I was like, he's a dog dad, which is why he loved seeing Lizzie playing with that dog. He's a dog dad. Like Fitzwilliam and Darcy, hot dog dads.
Yeah. Say that three times fast. Hot dog dads.
Dog dads. But also, can we just talk about how hideous Caroline's orange outfit was when she's slipping off Lizzie?
The hats.
But also just the horrible colour of her dress. Like, I don't know why. Like, I really like orange as a colour, but just the way she wears it is horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's bad. I think they've done it on purpose, though, to make her almost garish. But I just want to focus a little bit on, so after Darcy's walked through the halls of Pemberley with his candle and his dogs, it's the same evening, and then he just imagines her in a mirror.
He's always skipping down the halls of Pemberley, I just want to add. Like, he's just walking so, like, he almost is skipping.
He's so close to whistling to himself.
Yeah, he's just like, oh yeah, it's happening, baby. And then he's like, yeah, looking in the mirror, and there's a flashback, like when Lizzie looks in the window of the carriage and Mr. Darcy's face floats into view. It's like that, but it's their loving look.
Yeah, and I was like, it's the same evening. She's not even been gone an hour.
Yeah, but he's got it bad.
But, yeah, and then it's the next day, and
he's getting dressed by his, like, manservant or whatever, and he's clearly, like, wants to look sharp for Lizzie, because he, like, the manservant puts on one, or, like, goes to get one jacket, and he's like, no, the green one.
Yeah, yeah, he's, like, being a bit anxious about how he looks. And then Lizzie and the gardeners are about to go out for an outing, and then the post arrives, and she's got two letters from Jane. So she starts reading these letters, and we obviously, this is the bit where we find out about Lydia running off with Wickham. And because this is a thing that they do with letters in this adaptation, which I quite like, is so when Lizzie's reading the letter, we see it in real time.
Yeah, Mr. Bennett's got his little nightcap on with the little tassel, and he's like going downstairs to open the door and get, I think it's to get a letter, because he's got,
yeah, it's been like by priority post or whatever.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Bennett really hits rock bottom at this.
I mean, like, she hits rock bottom every 10 minutes, so
she's like basically being held up.
Yeah, I think she like stays in her room from the time that she finds out. Well, about,
yeah, they kind of imply, or Jane implies, the only person not shocked was Kitty, as if
Kitty knew. I've written in capitals here, Kitty knew.
That's what I was like, did she know that's what she would, did she plan on Wickham? Because later on, to be fair, they imply that maybe there was signs of this happening.
I feel like because Lydia always tells Kitty everything she's doing, she's not going to be like, she's really bad at keeping a secret, so if she had an idea of what she was going to be doing, she'd definitely have told Kitty.
Yeah, and Kitty is just like, whoopsie
daisy. But then she's kind of defending her later on. She's like, I don't see that she's done anything wrong. It's like, Kitty,
I know, like,
you're 18 years old, come on. They were like, well, hopefully they'll get married. Like, you know, they'll have to get married. Yeah. And then
Jane is a bit funny during this. She's like, it must be. And you're like, Jane, what the fuck? Like,
she's just so blindly optimistic. She can't think badly of anyone. And it's like, in, you know, I don't know if you've seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but when a character says, like, something, and then the opposite happens. So it'd be like, they're definitely going to get married. And then it's like, flashback, oh no, there's like a black screen and it says they aren't getting married.
Yeah, that's really like, what, she's just, I'm just like, Jane, like, what are you, you're doing a Lizzie where you're being like almost mean with your optimism.
Yeah, and then like, Lizzie, as usually, is just responding to the letter out loud.
I know, I really hate it, it's so annoying and cringy.
Yeah. And then she gets up and she's like, where is my uncle? You know where he's gone. He just told you he's gone to the church.
Yeah, and Darcy kind of walks in at this moment.
Yeah.
And she's crying. And what I find really weird is Darcy is like, you're ill. You're totally ill.
Yeah, I've got this as well. Because it's like, is there a difference between being ill and being upset in the Regency era? Are they just one and the same?
Yeah, well, is it kind of that thing of, like, they thought hysteria was an illness in the Victorian times? So is it, like,
do you always cry when you're ill? Like, you've got a cold and you're just sobbing to yourself, like.
Or did they just, like, not hate, they kind of disregarded women's emotions so much. They were like, oh, if she's crying, she must be ill.
Yeah, I really don't know, because he's very concerned for her, and he's like, what can I get you? Can I get you a glass of wine? And I'm like, I wish if I was upset, people just offered me a glass of wine.
And she's like, I'm not ill, I've just had some bad news. And he's still going on about how she's ill, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, he immediately, because she's like, I have to go I can't talk to you right now. I have to go and find Mr. Gardner. And he's like, no, you need to sit down. And he sends the maid off to find Mr. Gardner, which is like quite
a
practical and useful bit of, you know, help. But then Darcy is just like holding her arm or her hand or something, which is quite like, that's probably the closest they've ever been.
Yeah.
Like, and the first physical contact they've ever had. And he looks like he might cry just from seeing her cry. Like, he just looks upset.
He looks so pained. Like, he's in physical pain at seeing her upset. And so she kind of explains what's happened. And he just, like, starts to look more and more serious.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, shit.
And obviously she kind of thinks it's because he's like, this is embarrassing for you.
Yeah, because she's basically like, I'm ruined. And then he's like, I'm sure you want me to leave. Okay, I'm going to leave.
Yeah. What happens is the gardeners arrive back and they go to leave immediately. And Mrs. Gardner is doing that. She's incredibly hopeful that this is all just a big misunderstanding.
Everyone's always like, this can't be true. Bad things can't possibly happen to us. Like, it's just not going to be the case.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, you know, I reckon Jane's got it wrong. It's all going to be fine. And Lizzie's just like, are you fucking dumb? Like, she's literally just like, God, what are you going on about? And then we see Darcy chilling with his mates, but he's like very distracted about, to be fair, I think maybe when he leaves, when she's upset, because I think the memory I had is he leaves when she's upset because he's immediately going to do something about it.
Yeah, but then he just goes home.
Yeah, and then he's just hanging out with Bingley and Caroline and the Hursts. So I think he's like mulling over on how he can fix it, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's like, yeah, I mean, I guess he's like, she doesn't want me here. She actually doesn't like me very much, maybe.
Like, yeah, and he just panics about what's the best thing to do.
Yeah, because he's like, this is probably embarrassing for her. Like, she's been, like, she's been ruined, and I'm just sitting here. And like, ooh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's really loud out there. But yeah, so I guess he's just like, I don't want to make her more uncomfortable, just like leave her to her grief.
Yeah, maybe.
Because also he feels like it's his fault because that's the thing. He thinks this is my fault because I didn't expose Mr. Wickham.
I think she's going to think that at this point. Does he say
no, what? But I think that's in his head immediately that he finds out it's Wickham. He's like, this is actually down to me. Like, I think she starts blaming herself and then he's like, no, this is actually my fault.
Yeah,
he doesn't say that because he didn't want to be like, make her sadness about him and get her.
Yes.
No, it's not your fault. So he's just like, I'm gonna go, because clearly you know that it's my fault as well, but you just don't want to say it.
So she arrives back at the Bennets as well after we just see like a distracted Mr. Darcy hang out with Bingley and Caroline, and
this is my favorite bit. I messaged Bethany about this before it happened. Well, before she'd seen it, because I'd just seen it, and I absolutely lost my shit. Because Caroline, like, she's hanging out with Caroline and Bingley, and Caroline's like, you seem quiet, I hope you aren't pining for Miss Bennet. And he's like, what? Excuse me. And he walks, he, like, actually sort of, like, starts up, and he's like, what? Like, he just looks at her.
Quieter.
Yeah. And then he's like, excuse me. And he just walks off. And she's like, oh. And she's like, what did you think was going to happen there?
He's so, for someone who has had an incredibly privileged upbringing, because although actually I think Darcy is wealthier than Bingley, but that's just because he is like the wealthiest. And then Bingley is probably the second wealthiest. She has absolutely no social skills.
I think she just, because she's rich and everyone like wants to be friends with her, but Mr. Darcy's richer than her. So he doesn't feel the need really. He's just like, so she's gotten away with shit like that all the time because people are just being nice to her because they have to be. And Mr. Darcy's just like, I have no time for you.
She's got, like, mean girl syndrome.
Yeah. She's Regina George.
So then Lizzie arrives back at the Bennet, and then, like, Mrs. Bennet is in, like, full throttle Mrs. Bennet mode.
Hysteria mode.
She's like, he's going to be killed! He's going to be murdered!
She's obsessed with the idea that Mr. Bennet is going to fight Wickham.
Who he... Everything about Mr. Bennet...
Mr. Bennet is the least, like, active... He's the most passive person...
Yeah, he would rather all his daughters be ruined than get into a fist fight.
He would just not even want to... It would be too much, like, hard work.
Yeah, he's even, like... I talk about this a little bit later, where he's almost, like, feels a bit bad for some of his actions.
Yeah.
But not quite.
Not really. Like, he's just like, I'll get over it, though.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yes, he's gone to sort it out, but that's because his hand has been forced, not because he actually cares about Lydia's welfare in any way.
Nah.
It's just more like, this is incredibly inconvenient for the rest of the family, and I would, like, it's become an inconvenience for him because also his reputation is ruined now.
Well, I feel a little bit more sympathetic toward Mr. Bennet, but we'll get to that later.
So, yeah, like, Mrs. Bennet is just like, he's going to fight Wickham, he'll be killed.
And she's like, tell Lydia not to make any decisions about wedding clothes before she's seen me, because she doesn't know where the best warehouses are.
I know, I absolutely loved that she doesn't lose her head that much. I think it's a telling sign that it's like 90% an act with Mrs. Bennet. Also, so they're all talking over the table, and Mary says this really weird thing about how they all need to be in their sisterly bosoms.
In their sisterly bosoms. We need to, I think it's like, we need to offer each other the balm of sisterly...
She says the word bosom.
Okay,
bosom, and she's just like, no, I think she's like, we need to learn from this. And understand, basically she's saying, like, we need to be strong in our sisterhood.
And she's like, well, we've learned the lesson from this, that a woman's virtue once lost is, like, unfixable. Can't remember
this. Yeah, the thing is with Mary saying this, I was like, Mary's kind of talking about society at the time rather than, I couldn't tell whether she's being like, you've got to understand this is the way society views it, or whether she thinks this is...
She's just trying to be smart. I've just written Mary spouting a philosophical bollock, so I didn't even...
Yeah, she's just like... I couldn't quite tell whether she's basically saying women are impure if they have sex, or we need to learn that society views women as impure if they have sex. Like, I couldn't get her angle on it.
I think she was... Well, because she's all about, like, you know... like being virtuous, and so she's like, you can't be too careful of our behaviors around the wrong kind of people.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, like, not the right time, but I was like, she's got a solid point.
Well, Mrs. Gardner's just like, Mary, this is hardly helpful. Like, thank God, Mrs. Gardner, at least someone said it.
And then she talks to Kitty, and then Kitty's like, do you know what, this first time anyone's spoken to me as if, like, you're all blaming me for what Lydia did, because I think they know that Kitty knew.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't even think what she did was that bad. And everyone's just like, shut the fuck up,
Kitty,
like,
shut up.
Like, this is horrific, you idiot. Like, this is where Lizzie says something quite telling to Jane, because Jane's like, it's all gonna be fine, she's gonna get married to Wickham, it has to be fine. Like, she's just like, Jane is in, like, full crisis mode where she's like, it has to be fine.
Absolutely. Everything's great.
And then Lizzie's like...
Jane really is that dog meme of the dog sitting in the fire.
Yeah, she is. Lizzie's then like, I don't think you understand, Jane, that this has also ruined our connections.
Yeah.
Because that's not something Lizzie's ever cared about before, really.
No.
Now she was getting close to Mr. Darcy, it is something that she cares about. And also she kind of knows that Bingley didn't turn off willingly to Jane. So she's got that little info that Jane doesn't know about.
Yeah.
But Jane is just, I think, a bit confused. Because she's like, they kind of almost switch places. Where Lizzie's like, no, this has ruined our future connections with people. And Jane's just like, Lydia's literally... being led away by a paedophile. Like, Jane doesn't care about that as much. She just wants Lydia to be married.
Yeah.
So that Lydia, because obviously if Lydia doesn't get married, it's worse for the family, but it's so much worse for Lydia, any future for her. Yeah. So I just thought that was really interesting how suddenly Lizzie has this like very un-Lizzie-like moment where she's like, no, you don't get it. We're not going to get our men either.
No, well, because Lizzie throughout the entire story has been so much like, oh, none of this stuff like matters about, you know, society and reputation and like who cares, you know. And then suddenly the whole thing with Mr. Darcy happens and she's like, oh, actually, this is quite inconvenient for me.
Yeah, that's what I was like. She's actually like, she kind of almost cares more about that than what's happened to Lydia.
I think she's like stressed, but she's also like unhappy about her situation.
But also, I was thinking about it, how maybe it's a classic sign of how she's okay with saying these things theoretically. But if she did lose all her money and connections, she'd actually be like, ah, this is shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is she like that just because of Mr. Darcy being interested in her? Or was she being like, oh, actually, I'm all talk. It's actually really shit if you don't have the standing in society, which is one of the few things they did have, because obviously Mr. Bennet doesn't have the rights to the house. There's no money left. So...
And then she looks in the mirror again. There's lots of shots of Lizzie looking in the mirror. It almost punctuates the story in this adaptation.
Yeah.
And she looks in the mirror again, and Mr. Darcy's face floats up saying, I shall leave you now. And she's like,
yeah. And she's just like, oh, God. And then I just wanted to point out, because Jane pops her head around the bedroom door at this point as well, and she's got her hair down, and but her curls are round her face.
Yeah, when the hair's all long like that, it's very strange.
It just looks so weird. And then...
So then Kitty's outside. Like, Kitty is an 18-year-old woman playing with a cup and ball.
Just I like that down. I was like, what is going on?
How fucking old are you, Kitty? She acts like she's about 5. And so then Mr. Collins arrives to basically gloat. And so he comes and he's like, ah, I'm so sorry for how you've completely been ruined. How embarrassing this must be for you. Like, Lydia would better have died than
I know, when he said that, I was like, fucking hell. Like, I knew Collins was like a smarmy little bastard, but I think at one point Lizzie's basically like, hold me back.
Yeah, she's like, the fuck. And then he's like, oh, Mary, because he's like, oh yeah, no, I just felt that I should come and give my condolences. And Mary's like, a friend in need is a friend indeed. He's like,
yeah.
Mary outweirded him.
I think a thing, a real like stab in the chest for Lizzie is that he then goes, I spoke to Mrs. Collins about it, aka Charlotte.
Yeah.
He's like, she basically says it's the parents' fault.
Yeah, I know. And I bet Charlotte said that to him in like confidence, like thinking he would not expose her and say that in front of all of the Bennet girls. But he has no like social
etiquette,
and so he's just like, oh yes, Charlotte said this thing to me, like wife to husband. I'm gonna just say it to everyone.
Yeah, he's just like, basically, Mrs. Collins says that it's a case that she's been too indulged by the parents, and this is what has led to her running away. And then he goes, I like to think she's just naturally bad.
Yeah, like she's got a natural bad attitude or something. And then he's like, oh, of course, I told Lady Catherine everything. And she is like, yeah, this is terrible film, they're totally ruined. So
why would they give a shit about Lady Catherine's opinion?
He thinks that everyone gives a shit about Lady Catherine's opinion.
I find it so weird. Then Lizzie's like, do you know what, this is bad, maybe you don't want to associate with us anymore because it's so bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. And actually, with you having the patronage, she pulls out the patronage card, she's like, well, you know, having the patronage of Lady Catherine, I wouldn't want to damage your reputation at all. And he's like, oh dang, you're right, I better go. And he sort of backs out. And Kitty this whole time, because when he arrived, Kitty's like, oh shit, no way am I seeing Mr. Collins. And she like hides. And then as he's talking to them, you just see her behind peering through the window at him, like, what's going on.
And then Jane goes, I think he means well. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Jane, not now, Jane. Just like, not now.
Literally, I'd be like, Jane, like, me just calling everyone a dumb bitch. Like, what are you doing? No, he doesn't mean well. He's come to gloat. He's come to gloat because Lizzie rejected him and he's finding this whole thing fucking hilarious. Like, what is wrong with you?
Jane, man.
And then,
Kitty comes out of hiding.
Mrs. Phillips arrives to gossip with Mrs. Bennet.
Her and Mrs. Bennet are so funny because they're just like, hello, my sister. Oh, hello, my sister. And then Mrs. Phillips is like, well, I have to say that I always suspected Wickham of being a wrong'un, my sister. And then Mrs. Bennet's like, my sister, so did I. And I warned the girls about it.
Alike, aren't they? Yeah. Like, you really see the similarities between them. Because then Mrs. Phillips says this horrific sentence of like, oh, I've been getting all of the intel on Wickham and he's interfered with all of the tradesmen's
daughters. Oh my god, yeah. Jesus.
I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, you do realise that he's now with Mrs. Bennet's youngest daughter. And I was like, Mrs. Bennet is a lot, but I think even she realises how bad this is.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, maybe I'm just creating this thing and they would just prefer. I mean, they would
just the phrase interfered with.
Yeah, interfered with is actually horrific. It made me feel ill. But then I was like, oh, that would be horrible for Mrs. Bennet to hear. But then I was like, well, they do just want her to marry this old man instead of
Mrs. Bennet does not give a shit as long as there is a ring on Lily's finger.
And a nice dress on her back.
From the warehouses. They're appropriate warehouses.
We then cut to Lydia in like some kind of B&B with Wickham. She's just like humming away, completely unaware of the carnage that she's caused.
She just thinks everything's so funny, like literally everything is a joke to Lydia.
Then we just kind of, I think it's just to show where they are.
Yeah, like Mr. Wickham's like got his shirt open and there's like a bed and it kind of implies that like they've been getting down to it.
Yeah, because then she's like, oh, when are we going to go get married? And he's like, when my business is done, basically being like, I have no intention of doing this.
Mm-hmm. And, my business. Yeah. My business. Yeah.
And then we're back to the Bennets, and it's like Mr. Bennet has arrived back from search.
Yeah, he's come home. He's coming home. And Mrs. Bennet aggressively smells her smelling salts at one point and literally, like, throws her head back against the chair like she's doing poppers or coke or something. It's so funny.
And then he arrives back, and he's like, he finally realises that his hands-off, dismissive parenting has come back to bite him on the arse.
Yeah. And then Mr. Bennet like basically admits that it's all his fault.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just let you guys get away with too much and I'm never gonna let an officer pass through the village again. You're never going outside again, Kitty.
This is the thing though, he then just goes really mean to Kitty. He's just like, you're never allowed to leave this house unless you can be sensible. You can never see an officer, you're not going to any balls
for certain. Yeah, and then he takes the piss of Mrs. Bennet staying upstairs. He's like, oh, it must be nice for her just like being so dramatic and not having to deal with anything. And I'm like, it's your fucking fault. You just said it was your fault.
Like, he hasn't learned anything. He's just like, oh god, this is my fault because I like didn't really take anything seriously with you and I didn't really understand the pressure young women are under. But also, isn't it hilarious? I'm just going to lock Kitty up and make her cry just for the fun of it. And also, Mrs. Bennet is so dramatic. Lol. When her youngest daughter is literally off with an officer, which is going to...
I mean, she is dramatic, but also, it's your fault.
Yeah.
So, then we just see Mr. Wickham getting drunker and drunker to try and survive being with Lydia. And Lydia's like, oh my gosh! Guess who it is? Oh my god, that's so funny. And Wickham's like, who is it? And she's like, ah, that's such a laugh. Oh my god. And Wickham's like, who the fuck is it? Who is it, Lydia? And she's like, oh my god, you will not guess. And he's like, who the fuck is it, Lydia? And she's like, it's Mr. Darcy, obviously.
And then what I quite like though is he like does shout at her and she's just like, ooh, look at you. And then like it doesn't affect her in any way.
She doesn't give a shit. It's everything's funny to her.
is all just a joke to her. But yeah, Mr. Darcy has found...
Oh, to be Lydia and to just not give a shit about anything. Like, she's so happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. And it's working out for her because people protect her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if everything is a joke to you, then, like, it's fine. Whatever you do, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, as long as you've got people like Darcy, though, and, like, your family making sure that it doesn't, like, ruin your life forever.
Yeah.
And then, so, yeah, Darcy's found them. And then I think they get a letter, don't they?
Yeah, the express comes from Mr. Bennett. And it says that, basically, Wickham will marry Lydia for her share of the £5,000 that the daughters are going to inherit, and then also £100 a year, which is not very much.
No.
And Mr. Bennett is like, he looks very grave, and he's like, this is pretty good, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, but I know that my brother will have paid loads of money to fix this, basically.
Yeah, and also there's a bit where they're like, basically we think they should get married in Cheapside, which is where they are at the moment, rather than coming back to Hertfordshire, getting married in Longbourn. And then Jane was like, Kitty will be sad, she can't be a bridesmaid. And I'm like, Jane, do we care?
Seriously,
about
Jane?
And then I can't remember what it was, but I think Lizzie's talking about Wickham and she's like, he's such a man. And I'm like, oh, God, I think I actually say that.
Yeah, you do, actually. And then we just have a freeze frame on Mr. Darcy's grumpy face.
But that is the end of episode 5.
Yeah.
Final episode, episode 6.
It was... So Mrs. Bennett hears about them getting married. She's absolutely loving it. And she's like, oh, they should definitely... get married here. And Lizzie's like, she can't do that. Obviously she can't do that. And, and Mrs. Bennett's like, I do not see that. Like, oh, I think Lizzie's like, why can't you see that she can't do that? And she's like, I do not see that. Why should I see that? And then
she's just like, well, she's been with him for like 2 weeks. How long has it been? Like maybe a week?
Yeah, and she's been staying with him.
And if she comes back unmarried, it's gonna be very clear that she Well, like, if she gets married there, they can kind of fudge it a little bit.
Yeah. And be like, oh, yeah, they went and immediately got married and now they're back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Bennett's, like, brooding in his office and he's kind of asking him why he's so depressed. And he's like, well, my brother will have, like, given a lot of money to get this to happen. And Lizzie's like, how much do you think? And he's like, at least £10,000. Like, geez.
Yeah. I wrote here Mr. Bennett regrets, because there's a film called Miss Austin Regrets.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is truly Mr. Bennett regrets. He has so many regrets about how he handled things.
Yeah,
and I keep thinking he's learned something, but nope, he's still the same.
Well, he's just like, I'm heartily ashamed of myself. But then he's like,
I'll get over it then.
Yeah, he was like, I'll probably get over it way quicker than I should. And it's like, okay, are you going to, like, do something to change or not?
You're just going to carry on like you were before? Okay then, cool. Learnt nothing. Mrs. Bennett is in total denial of the scandal this has all caused as well. She's just
like, this is so great for us.
Yeah, she's just like, what a great marriage we've secured for our daughter. Totally of our free will. After the wedding, they visit Hertford. They visit Longbourn.
Well, first, Mr. Darcy, during the wedding, like, while it's happening, Mr. Darcy narrates how he has gotten Wickham to leave the militia and join a normal regiment.
Oh, no, wait, I think Mr. Gardiner, who says it? I think it's Mr. Gardiner narrating, but who is he writing?
I swear it's Mr. Darcy.
Maybe it's Mr. Darcy writing to Mr. Gardiner about how he's going to sort it out.
Yeah. And he's like, I've asked Mr. Gardiner to talk to everyone that he owes money to in Brighton, and I'll pay his debts. And if Mr. Bennett could do the same, then, you know, I'll pay his debts. So, and then Mr. Bennett, like, Mrs. Bennett is like, oh, yeah, Lydia needs to come and visit us. before she goes off to, I can't remember where she's living, but anyway.
Newcastle, and they're going to Geordie Land.
Oh, yeah. And Mr. Bennet's like, they will never be welcome at Longbourn. Comes to them arriving at Longbourn.
Yeah, I know. I was like, he's just like, they'll never set foot. Basically, because I think Mrs. Bennet's like, why can't they live here? They could go into this house or this house where people currently live.
Yeah. If only they would leave.
She literally is like, oh, if they just moved out, that would be perfect for Lydia. And then Kitty suggests somewhere. She's like, don't be so stupid. The attics are terrible there. And then Mr. Bennet is like, the one place they won't be welcome is here. And then, like, they just come riding up the driveway. And then they all go on a walk, like the women and Wickham. And do you know what? So Wickham's on horseback and the women are walking, and it really reminds me, because obviously he's on horseback and moving faster, he's kind of circling the walking women and keeps going past them. And it reminds me when you see a group of teenagers and one of them's on a bike and they have to just keep circling the group because they can't ride slow enough to be at their walking pace. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, because Lydia and Wickham have arrived, they're married now. And as they're going in the house, Jane, like, goes to walk in, and Lydia's like, I'm a married woman now, you have to go behind me. And Jane's like, all right then.
Literally, like, it's so... God, Lydia is so irritating. Like, I want to feel sorry for her,
but I don't. And then Lydia's telling them about the wedding, and he's like, she's like, oh, but there's, like, barely anyone there but the gardeners and Mr. Darcy. And then Lizzie's like, why was Mr. Darcy at the wedding? And Lydia... was like, oh yeah, when he was there to be the groomsman, you know? And then she's like, oh shit, I wasn't supposed to tell you that. Oh well.
Yeah, no, I think he, like, she does slip up about him paying for the wedding and everything.
Does she? I thought it was just that he was there.
No, I think she says something along the lines of he paid for the wedding, so Lizzie starts to realise where the money come from.
Yeah, and so Lizzie writes to Mrs. Gardner, who explains everything that Darcy had done. So, like, you have a flash to Mr. Darcy talking to the gardeners, and he's like, this is my responsibility. I was too proud to expose Wickham because that would have exposed my private business to people, and I didn't want to, but it's meant that, you know, this has caused this tragedy. And the gardener's like, no, 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 no. And he's like, no, I'm not going to be dissuaded. And then it flashes back to Wickham in the garden, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting your reverie, Lizzie, because she's reading. And she's like, yeah, you are. Mm. And then he just wants to bitch some more about his troubles. So he's like, oh yeah, did you see Mr. Darcy? Did you go to Climpton? Climpton was where I would have lived if I had got my living and become a vicar.
I was like, I can't believe he's still trying to do this, like, after everything that's happened. First of all, he's calling her my dear sister, and like, you have some cojones on you, like, yeah. After everything you've done, you're coming in as if, like, it's all chill and this was all meant to happen.
Like, he's just a compulsive liar. Like, he just has this narrative. Like, I think, well, he must be like a narcissist or something, because he's just, yeah, like, this, like, is my narrative.
Yeah, and I was like, you're still sticking to your story about Darcy. Like, do you not, like, that's got to have some balls, because he knows their aunt and uncle know the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so you're just hoping that they keep shtum? Like,
well, what? The thing, and he knows that Lizzie knows about it, but he's just, he doesn't know how to take accountability for his actions. So he's just like, I'm just going to keep repeating the thing. And
I don't know if he knows for sure. I think this is him testing the waters of what she knows.
I feel like
you know exactly what she knows, because we know Darcy wanted to keep it a secret.
Oh yeah, well, because here Lizzie's like, then destroys him because he's going, yeah, on about what he would have done.
I think before he starts retelling the story of Darcy being a dick, he doesn't know that she knows everything now, and I think it's almost like him testing the waters, being like, has she been told?
Maybe
what's happened yet? And then she's just like, oh, I heard this. And he's like, whoops.
Yeah, so basically Lizzie's like, oh well, I heard that at one point you said you would never take orders, and you
lost all your fortune and you got your...
And he's like, oh, I've been rumbled. And then she's like, nah, let's not argue. We're brother and sister, aren't we? So let's not argue about the past. And she does the just classic, like, Lizzie Bennet smile where she's just like, I got you, bitch.
She's like, I got your number. I know exactly who you are. You're a little piece.
And then he just, like, walks, like, in back into the house behind her, like, oh, okay.
And then they leave for Newcastle as they're leaving. Like, Mrs. Bennet's like, how often will you write? She's like, oh, I don't know. I'll be very busy.
Probably won't write you at all. You can write to me if you want, but I probably won't write back.
And then she's like, when will I see you? And she's like, probably in 2 years, maybe.
I think she's like 3 years, but she's just like, who knows? I'll just be way too busy to even come see you. And then there's another punctuating Lizzie looking in the mirror and blowing out candle scene.
I suppose it's like end of act four.
Yeah, I just don't know why it's always...
Yeah, because I think it does kind of happen at endings, doesn't it? And then, like, so that section of the story is over, and now Mr. Bingley is back in town.
The boys are back.
The boys
are back. The boys are back.
Both of them.
The boys are back. Gonna do it again.
So, the boys are back in town.
The boys are back. I'm just gonna do it every time.
And he's... Lizzie's like... Ooh, I wonder what he's here for.
Like, look. Yeah, she's like smiling at Jane, and Jane's like, shut up. And then,
she's honestly, at one point, Janie's like, will you stop it?
Stop it now. Enough of this. And so it's Darcy and Bingley arrive, and Mrs. Bennet's like, hey, Bingley, so nice to see you. Oh, and Darcy, I guess. Yeah, they're just like, oh, hey, yeah. Mr. Bennet would have come to see you, but he didn't. So, yeah, let's move on. Darcy and Bingley go outside, and Bingley's like, are you telling me that Jane was in London that whole time and you never told me? And Darcy's like, yeah, I was a complete arsehole. I'm sorry about that.
We see, like, a full apology for what he did.
And Bingley's like, wait a second, are you saying you were wrong? And Darcy's like, yeah, I was totally wrong. And Bingley's like, what is happening here?
Yeah, he's literally like, what? And then he's like, so I have your approval? And he's like, do you need my approval? And Bingley's like, well, no, but he's totally like,
confused. He's like, no, but I should like to know I have it all the same. And it's like, oh, bromance moment, the boys are back.
The boys are back.
The boys are back, gonna do it again. Anyway, and then so Darcy rides off in his coach, and he like looks at him like, go get him, champ.
Yeah.
Because I think he goes, well, in that case, like, go get her or something along those lines. And then Bingley's like, he goes to his servant, he's like, get my horse, quick man. I'm gonna go.
So he starts, they see him coming up the drive, and like none of them are dressed except for Kitty. And Mrs. Bennet is like, you've got to like, someone is in the middle of dressing Lizzie, and she's like, forget Lizzie, fuck
her. Well, yeah, she's fiddling around with her hair, and Jane's just in a nightie, and she's like, leave Lizzie. And Kitty's like, have you seen my locket? And she's like, fuck off, Kitty.
She's like, why would we care about your locket right now?
We don't even fit, Kitty. And Kitty, like, starts crying.
Yeah, she is. Honestly, they're all so mean to her. Like, I think...
No one likes you, Kitty. Nobody asked you. No one cares. Get out of here, Kitty. Mr. Bingley, like, is sitting downstairs while Jane's, like, or like frantically trying to dress. I think she sits down, and then like Mrs. Bennet like grabs her by the neck and is like, go get your blue dress. No, sit down, and like pushes her back on the chair, and Jane's like, ow. And then
so then you've got like Lizzie, Kitty and Mary all on one sofa.
And like the thing is, Mrs. Bennet so frantically wants them to go downstairs to sit with Mr. Bingley, and then they're just sitting silently like crickets. So, well, they're like, so is where's Mr. Darcy? And he's like, oh, Mr. Darcy's gone to town. And Mrs. Bennet is like doing these weird eye twitches at the girls. And then Kitty's like, why do you keep winking at me? And Mrs. Bennet's like, why would I wink at my own daughter? Absolutely ridiculous notion.
But then she's like, but since you mention it,
Yeah, actually, I need to talk to you about something. And also you, Mary, come with me. So then Lizzie's just left with Jane and Mr. Bingley. And she like, slight angles herself away and, like,
she awkwardly just turns her back to carry on with her embroidery.
And she's just like, pretend I'm not here. And, like, 2 seconds later, the maid's like, Miss Lizzie, you're needed upstairs. And Lizzie's like, oh,
so bad at it.
And then Lizzie's like, I have to go down and check on Jane. I did promise I wouldn't leave her alone. And so she goes down, and Mr. Bingley and Jane are standing like less than a meter apart. And it's like,
whispering it to each other.
And then Bingley, like, whispers something to Jane and then leaves.
He kisses her cheek as well.
Does he? Aww. Yeah. And then Jane's like, oh my God, it happened. It happened.
I'm so happy.
So then Lady C arrives and she's like, she comes in and immediately just goes, what an extremely small hall. And then she comes into the living room and she sits down without being asked. And they're all just like looking at her like, what is going on here? And she's like,
she's just so rude.
She's just very rude. And then she's like, I would like to walk around the park with you, Miss Elizabeth. And Lizzie's like, okay. And then, yeah, they get to the bottom of the garden. She's like, are you engaged to my nephew? And Lizzie's like, what? And she's like, are you engaged to my nephew? And Lizzie's like, well, I'm not going to say that I'm not engaged, but I also wouldn't say that I am engaged. And she's like, tell me whether you're engaged. And Lizzie's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to tell you about that. And she just, like, goes on about.
Yeah, she just, so then Lady C just, like,
faffing around. Because she knows it's annoying her. She's absolutely rage. Lizzie's just like, well, I'm not going to give you what you want. So you may as well go. And she's like, I am not in the habit of brooking disappointment. And I've just written here, I wish you could just say this to people and they wouldn't disappoint you.
Literally, like, yeah, imagine, like, someone telling you you haven't got a job and you're like, well, I'm not used to this. So you need to give me the job.
And then she, the most iconic final lines, I take no leave of you, I send no compliments to your mother.
I absolutely love that, because I really want to do that one day, like, after an argument. I'm like, I do not care how your mother's health is. I won't be able to do it, though, it's too mean.
So then, Mr. Bingley and Darcy arrive at Longbourn again, and they're like, shall we go for a walk in Meryton? Bingley being the perfect wingman here. And then Kitty is like, lagging behind because everyone's just walked off without her, and then she's like, can I go and see Mariah Lucas? And so she goes. Bingley and Jane have gone walking off together, and it's just Darcy and Lizzie, and Lizzie's like, I have to thank you for what you did for Lydia on behalf of my whole family, because obviously they don't know that it was you. And then he's like, it was all for you, I didn't think about that.
Everything I do, I do it for you.
And then he's like, are your feelings the same as they were last April?
I know. He's like, don't play with my little heart.
Don't play with my heart. No, don't fuck with my heart.
A different turn. But yeah, I think he can kind of sense affection towards her. And he's like, I literally cannot deal with this affection. You need to tell me.
Yeah, well, and then he's like, one word from you will silence me forever if they are the same. Which is,
because he's a respectful king.
Respectful king. So, and then she's like, actually, I feel really ashamed of what I said last April. And I've taken a complete transformation. My feelings are actually the very opposite. And he's like, there's more mirror scenes. She's like, so this time she's in the room and Jane's there, and there's like multiple mirrors. So there's like, you see the back of her head, then you see her face in the mirror, and then there's a mirror on the side which is like a full length mirror, and you sort of see her like three-quarter profile from that. So it's like even more mirrors. What does this mean?
Is all supposed of the to be angles?
Yeah,
so
like
it's so intense though.
What, the mirrors?
No, Jane.
Oh, Jane, yeah.
She is, like, so, like, she's basically like, so how long have you loved him?
Yeah, because she can't quite believe it.
And then Mr. Bennet and Lizzie have a little chat.
He cannot believe this shit. He's like, what? What?
I just keep thinking about how good this is for them as parents. Like, three daughters.
Yeah, man.
Out of five.
I mean, they really do not deserve this.
Yeah, they have done nothing to help this. They have actively hurt this situation.
And so he's just like, no, like, you clearly hate him. Like, don't let me have the grief of seeing you unable to respect your partner in life, which because I don't respect mine.
Oh, God. He's such a dick. Mr. Bennet is cancelled.
Yeah. But she do love him.
Yeah. And she said it. And then we're at the double wedding.
Caroline Bingley's so mad. She's just right in the front, like, double wedding
reveal. Like, they do it.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, and then
Richard, we were not expecting this.
Richard watched this episode with me, and he was like, "What is going on?"
Because it doesn't happen in the book.
He's like, are all four of them getting married to
me? And then the way the vicar reads it out, he's like, I'm joining this man and this woman. And this man and this woman.
I know. Do people even have double weddings? Like, is that a thing? Yeah, and then Caroline, I did write Caroline's face.
She's so mad.
And then I was like, the vicar's speech.
Oh my god, about the procreation of children or something.
And carnal lust and appetite.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Weird and inappropriate.
And then Mr. Collins is just staring at them, and Charlotte like looks over at him like the eyes emoji, like,
Yeah, I was just like, I just think it's that case of he didn't want it to work out for them because she rejected him.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, that's why he's just been enjoying her
demise.
Demise, yeah. And then they're like in the carriages outside.
I just want to say there was something really distracting when she comes out of the church. So it's like snow and air, everything, and there's like some foliage around.
Hmm.
A bit of foliage gets stuck in Lizzie's bosom. I just like could not stop looking at her. I was like, it's just caught in her dress, like in her boob area.
Maybe it's a boob. What's the word?
Bosom foliage.
Yeah, no, what's the word? Like a little posy. A little boot posy.
A little boutonniere.
You just made that up.
No, boutonniere is a word.
Is it?
Boobonniere, though.
Boobonniere. Oh, God, grow up.
Yeah, so they're like the things that men put in their, like, buttonholes.
I thought that was a... I don't know what I thought that was. I thought it was a different thing. So, and then they're like getting, they're both in their carriages, like driving off. And Mr. Darcy does the first ever toothy grin that you see.
Then they have to do a slow kiss in the carriage.
What? Yeah, which I'm guessing is the first time they've ever kissed. I mean, maybe it isn't, but like, that before you're married, are you allowed to kiss before you're married then?
Not back then, no.
No. Well, so they, yeah, they're like doing their first ever snog.
Right. So. That is the end of Pride and Prejudice 1995.
Why is Lady Catherine de Bourgh like that? Don't you know it's because she's a Virgo? Why is Mr. Darcy a twat, my friend? Can't you see it's because he's a Capricorn? Astrology.
Do you think Lizzie Bennet is still an Aquarius?
I think she's a little bit less Aquarius-y than the Keira Knightley version, I think.
Yeah,
She's like, because she's more kind of smiley and more like socially adept. I mean, I think Keira Knightley's version is as well, but like, she's not as obviously like a weirdo.
Yeah.
I think maybe she is a don't know why, but I'm thinking Sagittarius.
Okay, go with your gut.
Because just of the way that she's always kind of like making a joke about something, she's like the way that she smiles and then says something absolutely savage. Although, like, I think Sagittarius's are kind of goofier than that. She's kind of more cutting.
I was thinking more Capricorn.
I was also thinking maybe Capricorn, yeah.
So like an Aquarius Capricorn mix.
That could work, yeah.
Darcy.
I think Darcy is I think he's maybe a Cancer.
Yeah, hard shell, squishy inside.
Hot dad.
Mm-hmm.
Very protective of Georgiana. Very caring. Offering people glasses of wine.
Yeah.
So I think Cancer vibes. And also Capricorn vibes, maybe.
Bingley, I think might be a Pisces.
I think that's a good shout. I also think maybe he's got some Sagittarius vibes in him.
Yeah, he's very happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, and he's just like in for a good time, not a long time.
Jane, I think, might be a Virgo.
Yes, I think she... I don't know if she's a Virgo because she's not practical enough. I think she might be like either a Cancer or a Pisces. I feel like there's a bit of a Pisces vibe because she's very like gentle and emotional.
Yeah, but then no, she's also quite repressed. She pushes it down.
Yeah, but I think that you can be a repressed Pisces. She's definitely a water sign. Let me think about this, because is she immutable or cardinal? She's definitely... I think she's mutable, so that would mean Pisces, yeah.
Okay, so she's a Pisces. Okay, so we've done the core four. I'm going to throw some out here now. I think we should do Lydia.
Okay, Lydia is a Gemini.
Okay, I thought you might say Gemini, and then I was like, is it Sag as well?
There's a little bit of Sag, but to be honest, I think it's Gemini because it's just the way that, like, she's just really kind of interested in the fun of it, but, like, in a, I don't know, there's kind of an attention-seeking vibe, which I'm not saying all Geminis, you know what I mean, but like I think it's about the kind of the kick that she gets from that social,
yeah,
it's the social stuff. I think that like air signs are really like there's a relationship to socializing. I think Aquariuses are kind of like the opposite, where they're like kind of antisocial, they're like quite picky about the social, but like Gemini is about like wanting to like know everyone and know everything and just like be the life of the party.
Wickham.
I think he I think he might be an Aries,
quite passionate,
or maybe a Scorpio.
I don't know enough about Scorpios to really ever be like that person's a Scorpio.
Well, I think Scorpios can be quite calculating and like...
yeah, he's not really... He doesn't do things on the fly. He's got a game plan.
Yeah, and he's like... He's like an adept liar. He's like... He's a bit of a snake, you know. I think that...
Snook.
Yeah, he's like... You know, he's got a sting in his tail. But, yeah, I think... and then maybe he's got some Aries in him as well, because he's just, like, he's not... He's following his kind of own desires. He's not really thinking about anyone else.
Mrs. Bennett.
He's out for himself. Mrs. Bennett, I think, is...
Maybe Aries Pisces mix.
I think she might be a Leo.
Oh, okay, yeah, I kind of see it a little bit.
Because she's very like
she's the centre of her own world.
Yeah, and she's just like very She's just fully herself in a like totally unapologetic way. She's a big character.
Main character syndrome.
And she's got like just she's very passionate.
Yeah. Mr. Bennett?
I think Mr. Bennett is a Capricorn.
I thought that as well. He can be cutting.
Or an Aquarius. I think he's a bit of both. I think he's probably
got a mixture of the two. Okay, so we'll do Lady Catherine. Do you still think she's a Virgo?
I don't know. I think, like, in this adaptation, I think Judi Dench as Lady Catherine is a Virgo because she's just always wanting to, interfere. I mean, I think there is an element of that.
Yeah, because she is like, what are you talking about? What's going
on? Yeah, tell me what's going on. So there is that. I think there's also like a fieriness to Lady Catherine, like maybe she's an Aries.
Yeah.
Or yeah. I think maybe there's some Aries in there.
Nice. I like it. So, Charlotte Lucas, sorry. There's so many.
Charlotte Lucas is, I mean, we've talked about this before, but she's like very pragmatic. She's quite Capricorn.
Yeah, I think she's vibes. Like a textbook Capricorn.
But she's also kind of, yeah, she's got that like Taurian earth sign vibes. I think she's probably very earth sign heavy. Because she's like, I like nice things. I want to have a nice house. I don't really, that's my thing. Like, she just wants to stay at home and have a nice space to be.
Yeah. Mr. Collins?
I don't know, because he's like, he really takes, he kind of takes things to heart and he gets a bit obsessive about stuff.
Yeah, but he also has a side to him that can be quite savage.
Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like, is he a fixed sign or a cardinal sign?
And he's also quite eager to please.
Yeah. And I'm like, I think he might be like a Cancer. Because he's got that, he almost has like mommy issues for Lady Catherine. And he just wants to create this like family, and he is very like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I also wonder if there's a bit of Scorpio in there, because he just has this thing where he likes to come and gloat.
Yeah, definitely. The only
hashtag not all Scorpios.
Is maybe Kitty and Mary. Mary might be easier.
I think Mary is like a textbook Aquarius.
Yeah, she's so weird, bless her.
Yeah, and also just the reading and, like, knowing weird shit.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Kitty is hard because she's almost like she takes on the personality of Lydia.
Well, she's definitely a mutable sign because she's very persuadable.
Is that a Libra-type thing?
Yeah, maybe Kitty's a Libra. I think you're right.
Yeah, because she's also kind of got the essence of Lydia as well, of being a bit like, well, I don't see what she did wrong.
But she just wants everyone to get along and to be nice to her.
Yeah, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe a Libra. That's, I think, everyone, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to say one more thing, which is, I won't spend very long on it, but I just wanted to say, like, I was watching it and I was like, you know what? The hype is deserved. Because they're just this, like, you know, you watch the 2005 version, you're like, this is pretty, and, you know, these are very attractive people, and it's a fine, like, I'm not going to disparage why are you putting down other Pride and Prejudices to hold up, like, what's it called, you're like a misogynist to Pride and Prejudices, putting other women down. Anyway, you don't have to put one Pride and Prejudice down to build another one up. A real Pride and Prejudice, a real queen tells the other queen that her crown is crooked instead of, I can't remember.
Fixes her crown instead of telling her it's crooked.
That's the word.
Right.
Anyway.
The thing is, a real Pride and Prejudice fan loves all adaptations. Yes. Or appreciates all adaptations.
Apart from the 1940 version, which sucked.
Horrific.
But anyway, so, yeah, no, but I was just thinking about this and just all the little nuances, all the little jokes, the looks between them, the
detail you get.
Yeah, the character development. Chef's kiss.
Inject it into my veins. It is.
I'm Mrs. Bennet sniffing her smelling salts, but the smelling salts are Pride and Prejudice 1995.
Literally. No, I'd forgotten how good it was. Also, I think when you watch it for this, we obviously take notes and almost, you don't let it wash over you. You focus on it more.
Yeah, because I think I just watched it and I took it for granted, you know. I didn't appreciate what it was giving, but it really, it gives and it gives and it gives.
Yeah, and there's so much nuance and detail to it.
Yeah. This is the song that we play when we remember just about to read the adaptation.
No, no.
This is the song that we play when we remember to do the thing.
Ba-ba-ba.
Just about.
Oh, God, it is good.
So good.
8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Ooh. 9 out of 10. I think I have to give it a 9 out of 10 because I've given other things a 9 out of 10, and this is one of the best that I've seen.
Yeah, TBH. Like, I'm gonna give it a 9. The only thing that, like, I would have liked to see more of is, like, diversity, but it's a Jane Austen novel. It's quite, and it was made in 1995. I don't know. I think, like, there wasn't anything super offensive in it. But anyway, yes, it's a very good one, isn't it?
Yes, so I think a 9 out of 10. Nine out of 10. All right, so what are we going to watch next time? Called Love and Friendship 2016, based on Lady Susan. So that is what we'll watch next week. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at
austintranslationpod@gmail.com.
Thank you. If you want to get in touch via Instagram, it's austin_translation_pod. Yeah, that's it. God, that was clunky. Right,
thank you for joining us for this journey.
And this is the end.
I think we're going to be back in 2 weeks, are we? Instead of one.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
So we're going to be doing it every 2 weeks now.